This is K726XAA, Los Angeles. Is there anyone out there from the planet Melmac?
Hello, wherever you are, to Alfsplaining. Hello to Alfsplaining. That's not a phrase. It should be welcome to Alfsplaining, doesn't it? You think by episode 7, me, Ben Baker, might have got used to it. Or at least him over there.
Me, John Matthews.
Could have at least, you know, sort of nudged me a little bit more in the right direction.
Let's rewind and let's redo that.
Okay. Do I have to make the rewind noise?
Do I make a rewind noise?
Okay. Welcome to Alfsplaining, the only British-based TV puppet alien Alf episode-by-episode discussion podcast that we've been asked to find out about anywhere.
I like the first one better.
Well, I'm Ben Baker.
I'm John Matthews.
And this is Alfsplaining. Hello, how are you? Don't answer. It's a one-way system. We're talking about Alf episodes, episode by episode. We're currently in Series 1, or if you're American, Season 1, which it might take some getting used to, I know, try and understand. And the episode we're going to be reviewing, as much as we do on this programme, less review and more...
Observation.
Yeah, it's an observation. It's basically, if this was the Krypton Factor, it's a 25-minute observation round video, and then we've got to remember as much as possible after it. And if you don't know what the Krypton Factor is, I mean, it's not important.
You're younger than us. If you don't remember what the Krypton Factor is, you're younger than we are.
That is fair enough. So this episode also has a sort of slightly dated title in some ways. It's called Help Me Rhonda.
And of course, in German, as you're all waiting for the German version of this, it's Ein Mädchen namens Rhonda, i.e. a girl named Rhonda.
Rhonda? Du hast Rhonda gesehen?
Was heißt gesehen? Sie ist hier bei mir. Hey, sag doch was, Liebling.
Hi, Süße.
Rhonda.
Ja, Gordon, ich bin es. Du hast mir gefehlt.
Ratings?
Oh, excellent, yes.
Pretty much same as usual. 15.7, or 23rd most watched programme of the week. It was between Knots Landing and Sent Elsewhere. So really a very sweet place in the mid-80s.
It's built a fan base, and it's not really building on its fan base. Or losing its fan base.
Yet.
People who like Alf, like Alf. They're not telling anybody about it. That's the problem.
What I've done is... I've taken out a subscription on an American newspaper scans website.
Oh, yes.
And so I managed to find a few bits, and it was like, one of the things I read was like, Alf's doing okay, but it'll probably do better once the toys come out next month. So I'm looking forward to the December episodes. We're currently November 10th for this episode in the original American airing, so I reckon they're going to skyrocket.
That's pretty quick turnaround for toys, isn't it? Say we're only up to episode 7. I mean, they were fairly confident, I think, in this, weren't they?
Well, there must have been, because as we'll get to, there is puppety bits in this. Oh. And as such, there's two directors. There's our old pal Peter Bonners.
Oh, who? I've never heard of Peter Bonners.
Oh, well, look it up. It'll make you laugh.
I remember Peter Bonners, but I've never heard of Peter Bonners.
I don't remember. I don't listen to this programme. I find it childish.
Yeah, it's a beneath us, isn't it?
I get my Alf knowledge elsewhere, off bus terminal walls and stuff. There's also Rick Goff attributed to being on this, and I'm guessing they did the puppety bits. As we'll come to very, very shortly. So writers, Tom Patchett and Lloyd Garver. Patchett, I think, basically co-created Alf, definitely heavily involved in the creation.
Before we commence this episode, I should say, this feels like it's an essential episode. The last time we spoke about Alf, last week, we were realising that Alf is getting quite depressed about being stuck on Earth, and this is sort of almost dragging the show down with it. Everybody else is feeling a bit sad that Alf is stuck on Earth, and he's a prisoner. He's trapped on Earth, and he needs some way of taking it into his own hands, controlling his own destiny. And this episode sort of does that, and... that's why it's kind of an essential episode in the Alf canon, as it were.
Well, I wonder if this is why Tom Patchett wrote this or co-wrote it, because he's come from Puppet. He did he co-wrote with Jay Tarsis, the Great Muppet Caper, and the Muppets Take Manhattan. So definitely a strong hand on the Alf tiller.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't know what I'm looking for.
Hands.
Back catalogue. Good, solid back catalogue. Hands. You need hands.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard it. It was in a song.
It's one of Alf's episodes, isn't it? You need hands. Yeah.
Incidentally, before we get into the episode properly, it's just Diversion Junction this week. Okay. In the previous episode, For Your Eyes Only, we were confuzzled by a missing, seemingly Chipmunks-based scene. Yes. In there, it was just on our copies, which are from the DVDs, just sudden cuts, and I found the actual the scene, not in English, unfortunately, which is why I only put a little snippet in the last episode. But yeah. In case you're wondering why we said in that episode, well, we don't know what this is, and then you heard a clip of it.
Ow, did you say something?
Found it.
Что ты сказал?
Я сказал, Альвин, Альвин, это мой любимый.
А мне нравится Теодор.
Я ненавижу Дэйв, он назойливый.
That's incredible, yeah. Isn't it? What a world we live in. We wouldn't have this wealth of information in the old days.
And it's literally like a minute and a half of them just listening to the Chipmunks.
It goes on and on. And
it does.
I mean, I'm kind of glad it was cut out. It's funnier with the rapid edit.
Yeah, it's not an upsetting
omission.
Ejection.
an upsetting ejection. The true story of Alf.
Speaking of upsetting ejections, it's Brian's 7th birthday.
Hey! Yes, and they're walking hand in hand. It's a cold open. They're walking hand in hand, Alf and Brian, into the sitting room. Now, it's not the short person in a suit walking with Brian. It's the actual puppet. So this is making use of the famous trenches that were built underneath the house. So the house was built on a 6-foot platform, so that the puppeteers could get around under the floor, and a system of trenches
without getting a sciatica.
Yeah, exactly. But yes, I thought it was quite an interesting way for them to be walking in together, hand in hand, with Brian dressed as John Denver in 1975.
What else was interesting in the first seconds of the episode?
What was?
A weird new musical sting.
Was that?
Like, to introduce it. Honestly, it's like, I will play it in, obviously.
Let's listen.
Don't forget, we're going to talk about my birthday.
No problem.
It's not that interesting, but I just noticed that it seemed almost out of place in Alf. But then again, this is a weird episode, even for Alf.
Like I said, they needed to get Alf to be less alone in the universe, as it were.
Well, I mean, what's more less alone than going hand in hand with a 6-year-old, very nearly 7-year-old boy to do what Globe described as some scripted business over the latter's birthday? You know, oh, Alf, I understand on Melmac that you get loads of presents and stuff. It's exactly what you imagine it. But it does mean we get to find out Alf's ages.
This is incredible. Now, this is something, because there's a number of major Alf revelations in this episode.
There is.
The Alf bio gets expanded considerably, so we do find out how old Alf is.
And he is?
He's 229 in August.
Yeah, as we said before, Alf is an adult, technically. Not entirely sure how years work on Melmac, as I'm sure we'll find out. We're getting to, before even the title music, I'm sorry to do it to you, but I think the Top Willy moment comes in at this point.
Right.
There are several.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a lot of discussion about what Brian might like on his cake, you know, what kind of design. Alf has suggested Ruth, the two-headed nurse, who was very popular back in Melmac. And but Willie suggests
Robin Hood, Hopalong Cassidy, Archie and Jughead.
Who are they?
People Mom and Dad went to school with.
Perhaps those were outdated examples.
Now, Interesting. Again, deliberately old references there, which all have made me laugh, which is why I think it might be my top Willy moment.
Well, I almost put it down as my pop culture reference. In the show has gained sentience and is doing its own dirty pop culture references within the show. It was a lovely thing.
But it's interesting that they mention Archie and Jughead, who are, of course, from the Archies.
Yes.
Who are probably better known through Riverdale and stuff like that now, these edgy reboots, but just kind of, obviously, the Sugar band for a long time, and comics, I guess. We didn't really do them over here. But there'd be a series called The New Archies.
Really?
Which launched the following September in 1987.
Oh! We're the Archies in a brand new show.
Interestingly enough, every year NBC used to do an hour-long preview of all the cartoons coming up. And guess who hosted the 1987 NBC Saturday morning cartoon preview?
It wasn't Alf, was it?
It bloody was.
My good lord.
And Benji Gregory.
Benji?
In a thing called Alf Loves a Mystery.
Oh!
Hi, Alf here. Me and my pal Brian are hosting all your favorite NBC shows this Saturday morning. It's going to be out of this world.
We are going to discuss this at some point because it's insane. Betty White's in there and all sorts of oddities, but yeah, it's a very odd.
I've seen the words Alf Loves a Mystery on IMDb and whatever, and I've not got around to watching it yet. But
oh well, no, save it. We'll do it.
I'll save it for a very special episode of Alf Splaining.
Yeah. So yeah, there's just a little link there for you, and you know that's one of two Top Willy moments, but I thought I'd bring that in now because it's title music time. So we think that's just a bit of business for the cold opening.
No,
we're continuing after the music once again. More birthday stuff, and it turns out birthdays are quite triggering for Elf.
Yeah, we cut to him. This is the overnight shot. He's sat in his basket, seemingly drinking beer. There's a bottle of beer next to him.
Well, we've established he's old enough now, so it's fine. He's allowed.
As he watches a sheep go round and round, because we've also established he leaves the dryer on all night, and he's counting the sheep going round and round to try and get to sleep. Now, for some reason, Willy has woken up to come downstairs to get something out of the dryer. For some reason.
Yeah, sure.
But Alf is sad. Because, and this is the second revelation of the episode, it turns out the planet exploded on his birthday as well.
That is unfortunate.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, on his 228th birthday, no less. And when he was just about to go on a date with the title character, Rhonda. And Willy, obviously, is there. He's a good listener. And indeed, tries to discuss his own romantic world, but Alf don't give a shit at that point.
Alf may have been horrified by the amount of bare, naked Willy flesh on display at this point. Alf, because Willy has come downstairs in his robe, and seemingly very little else. He sits legs akimbo in front of Alf, and we see far too much of Willy's area than we really ever wanted to.
Willy's big area, as Len Jericho once sang.
Willy's big area, ladies and gentlemen.
Just keep that in mind for the next episode. Bloody hell. Yeah. So Alf drifts off watching the sheep in the washing machine, and we cut to another scene, which is
live on Melmac.
But yeah, I would say it's a dream scene. It's not. It's a memory, isn't it?
It's not even that. It's just a revelation of what Melmac looks like, and it looks cheap.
It looks cheap. Like a diner. Set, but with lots of other characters that look exactly like Alf.
Alves. Four Alves.
Yes. And we meet Skip and Rick, who become characters in the animated series, obviously.
Skip is the one with dark hair, and he looks most like a prototype Alf. Rick has brown hair and a weird sort of long neck going on.
And Rick has possibly my favourite line of the episode.
Please.
Which is, take a look at them gams. Because apparently Alf and his pals are very much like Dave Lister, Chen and Peterson in Red Dwarf. You know, they're just bums.
Happy birthday, big boy.
Thanks.
I think she likes you, big boy.
She's got legs like a lunar lander.
She's no Rhonda.
What about Rhonda?
Come on, who are you kidding? That's who you got a date with.
All right, I've got a date with Rhonda. Why are you making such a big deal out of this?
But they are all part of the Orbit Guard, which supposedly, you know, I assume has some credit.
Alf, because Alf is wearing an Orbit Guard armband, but is otherwise naked. Everybody, all the other elves are clothed. Alf isn't. Alf is completely naked, apart from his armband. There is a fourth revelation in this scene. With that one of them, I forget which of them, says Alf is a third of the way through his life. So it turns out elves live to be 700 or so.
Which, you know, I suspect a wishful thinking on behalf of Paul Fusco. I mean, you got 4 years. but that's why he's always ripe for a reboot.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very short scene, but it's interesting so early on in the series we go, Alf's on his planet, and you don't see alien planets on cozy family sitcoms.
They're very true.
The budgets don't stretch, as indeed it didn't here.
We've had to use our imagination so far about what Melmac looks like, and now we've had our first glimpse of it. It was quite exciting, even if a bit underwhelming.
And also everybody, because they're in a diner, are eating versions of cats.
Yeah. Chili cat, feline and fries, no gravy. And Alf has a whisker omelette, tail on the side.
Which sounds horrendous.
It does sound awful, doesn't it? I mean, that sounds like a joke that was made up on the day.
Mm.
On the spot, almost.
Yeah. We are dragged from Melmac, kicking and screaming, by, I'm going to say, a roaming Willy. But still never getting old. Willy is waking Alf because apparently, he says he's singing Help Me Rhonda, but he must have been screaming it for Willy to hear it on the other side of the house.
Help me, Rhonda!
Yeah, I'm surprised it hasn't got the Ockmonarchs round, to be honest, with the with concern. At which point...
Are you okay?
I don't think so, Willy.
What's wrong?
Everything. I want to go home.
The whole mood of the series has been completely destroyed by this, because everybody, every single viewer is now incredibly depressed.
Yeah, and it is depressing. He's not done it as a fun thing, which makes what comes up even weirder. But we'll get there in due time. As the next scene, Alf is full-on sad. He is in a hole, and as such, everybody's pampering him to try and make him feel better.
The next big revelation in this show from the Alf biography is that Alf runs at 425 degrees. That is his temperature.
Yeah. So Alf's been, you know, pampered, basically, to the point where he's pissing off Kate quite substantially. And I'll be honest with you. This is where I fell in love with Kate fully.
Yeah.
When she is pushed to say that she'll punch Alf's heart out.
I mean, it's a really strong... she hates him. She really hates him.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something now, and I want you to listen to me very carefully.
Let me get the dustbuster.
Now, I realize that you miss Rhonda. And that you're homesick. And people that are sick are not themselves. They say things they don't mean. They act in ways they wouldn't ordinarily act. But if you ever talk to me like that again, I'll punch your heart out.
Fair enough.
She gets my MVP of the episode for this.
Mine too. We'll just get there now. I said Rick for that Gams line, okay, because she gets some great snarking.
Yeah, she is. She pretends to be sad about it, but she doesn't hide her glee.
Alf is very sad with good reason to be sad, but, you know, obviously he's a bigger dickhead than usual, and doing stuff like making a will, which has his name fully in it, read out loud.
It's the great this is the big revelation of the episode. We finally hear Alf's full name.
And they still call him Alf.
Yeah. Also, he says, play the clip.
Last will and testament. I, Gordon Shumway. Shumway?
Don't blab that around till I'm gone.
Do hereby bequeath all of my worldly and cosmic goods.
We made contact!
It's a Melmacian. It's somebody named Skip.
Give me that. And you never heard the name Shumway.
I had no memory of Shumway being a hidden shame for the Alf character.
The titular hero.
Hmm. So, yeah, we've heard Gordy several times, you know. And now we've got the surname in as well. And it's while this is happening, bizarrely, they managed to actually contact a Melmacian, which is lucky for the plot.
Will he actually achieve something in his worthless life? He contacts aliens on his ham radio.
Which, once again, never been able to do before.
No.
There's no reason why he's suddenly able to do it, but it's a sitcom. It's a sitcom.
No, I mean, unless off screen, behind the scenes, Alf has been tinkering with the mechanics and they've been working on this for the past however long Alf has been with them.
Just a nod to that would have been nice.
But no, it seems that Willie just turns on his radio. Any Melmacians out there? And lo and behold, who's flying by but Skip? And Skip sounds nowadays like a right misery. He's grumpy about everything.
His world exploded, I suppose. All his pals have gone away.
But Alf seems happy about it. Alf's not sniping at everybody all the time.
Hey, where'd you guys go? I don't have all day.
It's really him. It's Skip. Skip, can you hear me?
Yeah, hear you loud and clear. Who was I talking to before?
Oh, that was one of the kids.
Kids? You got kids now?
No, well, they're not mine. I mean, I'm just living with them and their parents.
Hi, Skip, I'm Brian.
Hi, kid.
I'm Willie, and this is Kate. Kate, say hi to Skip.
Hi. Skip?
But apparently not that. So his passenger, who it's made very clear that Skip has tried to bang and is not interested.
Because the fifth Alf of the episode appears at this point, and it is Rhonda.
Who doesn't look like the other one. She's actually given a slightly different design.
Yeah, not a great design, but different.
No, very. If she was on screen for longer than she was, it'd be very distracting.
Yeah, she got a strange voice as well. There's a thing about this where the puppeteers of the other elves aren't really up to scratch. They're not up to Paul Fusco's competence at puppeteering. It shows off his excellence, this episode, just by comparison and the context of the other elves and their slightly awkward movements.
Hey, say something, sweetheart.
Hi, cutie.
Rhonda!
Yes, Gordon. It's me. I've missed you.
Yikes. What are you doing with Skip?
Not much.
You're the only one for me.
No, so apparently Skip and Rhonda are still alive, and they're willing to pick up Alf. I'm not entirely sure for what reason, because, you know, the planet's still gone, but he'll be with his kind. And he's like, oh, but it's Brian's birthday tomorrow and I really want to be here for that. And obviously that's very upsetting for Brian. And then when he finds Rhonda's there, he's like, hot diggity dog, I'm getting some ass.
Yeah, he's going to get to see Rhonda's gams.
So next day, it is Brian's birthday. He's very sad. Alf isn't.
The mood plummets again as Brian exclaims, this is the worst day of my life. Which, again, you know, it's not the sort of upbeat sitcom line you really want at this point.
No. Because Alf is delighted because he's going to get his beans. But sad music kicks in and we get to see what cake he actually asked for and what is on that cake.
It is, ladies and gentlemen, an Alf cake.
Well.
Well, yes. It, technically.
It's said to be an Alf cake.
The script says it's an Alf cake.
We don't see it close up.
No.
Just some brown in the middle of a cake.
I mean,
so I don't know if someone tried and it looked bad or someone forgot to get a close-up, but I'm suspecting over the next like 4 or 5 years, there would have been a lot of birthday cakes that were Alf, because the kids obviously loved Alf, but at this point...
I did look it up and I found a vendor not a million miles away from me that does make Alf cakes. So seriously, you can't have them delivered. You've got to go and pick them up. So obviously, I haven't bothered yet. But at some point,
well, we'll do that.
At some point, we will get an Alf cake, and
when the money starts rolling in, that's his first. It's his first mission. Alf cakes.
But yeah, you can wonder if somebody said, "Can you get us an Alf cake?" And they phoned up and said, "Well, okay, what does Alf look like?" Well, he's sort of brown. That'll do.
Yeah.
And there you go. There's your cake.
Yeah. He's just some brown. Does he look like a shit? No. But a little bit.
A little bit. So the thing is...
So Brian basically gets a shit on a cake. No wonder it's the worst day ever.
I've got a theory about this. Now Patrick McGoohan once said that there were 7 essential episodes of The Prisoner, and he felt the entire story could have been told in like 7 episodes. I wonder if they designed this episode just in case they got cancelled.
I was wondering that, because like 7, it's like 7 episodes in, but...
They could go out on a high with Alf off into the sky. They could take a shit on Brian's birthday cake. It'll be a glorious end to a glorious 7-episode run.
I mean, it would have been good if Alf said, you know, yeah, and I did that, by the way. So, looking at the production codes, Help Me Rhonda was the 10th episode made.
That
so,
really is that theory,
I would, No, not at all, because, again, it's sort of a half season, isn't it? They do, you know, they probably sort of make more decisions at that point.
There might be some deleted scenes where Alf does leave or something like that.
Because, again, this is all set up very much like, no, Alf is going.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he do? He's family's friends and everything like that.
The mood gets lower and lower. Lynn starts crying, and Willie then gives this heartfelt speech about Alf as a...
You've enriched our lives. Thank you, my friend, says Willie,
which is my top Willie moment, because basically, Alf enriched their lives by... Let's count them off. He destroyed their garage.
Mm.
He frightened the Ockmonocks. He frightened the cat away. He got Willie arrested, and he spent all their money.
Mm.
That's how Alf has enriched their life. Only he frightened a blind woman. He conned a blind woman.
Well, I mean, the next scene is literally them all sat round discussing the wonderful times that Alf was a massive prick to them.
I know.
Including apparently dropping a car on Brian's head.
Yes.
He was so funny. Remember the time you set the shower on fire?
I do. I was in it.
I thought it was funny when he buried the couch.
I remember. I was on it.
You remember the time he was helping change the tire? He pulled the jack away from the car?
I remember. I was under it.
I mean, they're all sat there. They're all sat there whilst Alf is sitting on the roof, apparently, waiting for They're not out there on the roof waiting to see a big spaceship.
No. No, he's gone now. He's out of the room now. He's gone.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, he dropped a car on me.
Yeah. So, Alf's gone. Oh, well, we'll all remember Alf. Oh, no, Alf's back.
Yeah, and Alf's back to give Willie his watch back.
But not really. I mean, I think the idea is that, you know, he's nervous. He's too nervous to see Rhonda, so he's actually missed time. But he says he would miss the family too much, which is weird.
There's some lovely glee when Willie twigs that he's stalling, and he starts chuckling. You're stalling. And he there's this warmth about him that is charming.
It is, but again, like maybe Alf's, well, Gordon's family is still alive. You know, if those characters are, you know, maybe he wants his own family. But no, apparently not. And it's not even like come back in 4 years.
This is the thing, though. We now know that Willie can quite easily contact other Melmacians.
Apparently.
We now know there are other Melmacians out there, and we now know that the other Melmacians know where Alf is. So he can quite happily come back to the family and go, yeah, I'll just go and I'll give him a call at some point, and they can come and pick me up later. It's all, everything's sort of all right now. He's not trapped anymore.
So, I'd like to introduce you to a new section of the programme I call IMDb's Factual Errors section.
Oh, brilliant. This is my kind of feature.
Willie and Brian make a radio contact with another Melmacian, Skip, who says he's headed for Andromeda. Since Andromeda is 2.5 million light years away, Skip obviously has to be using faster than light travelling if he's going to make it there. Otherwise, how can he have a radio contact with Willie when radio signals travel only at the speed of light? Oh, I hope someone got fired for that blunder. Bear in mind, this is in ALF, a programme about an alien. Come on.
I was pondering that about Andromeda, but I couldn't be arsed looking it up. So I'm glad you did. Or at least this IMDb communicator looked it up.
Yes, thank you to whoever that was. Probably sitting lover 42329, something like that. I don't know. Alf's back. He never left, and now he's back. And good. I guess.
Yeah. We can now crack on with assorted antics without having to worry about Alf in an existential crisis about his own existence in the universe.
Yeah. But it's still weird.
It had to be done. The episode had to be done.
It did, but I suspected it at the end of season one. And it might be a cliffhanger. Like, will Alf go? And then our Alf went for a bit and came back and said, oh, the lovely holiday.
That would be good. Three episodes with Alf not in it. They were just a normal family bumbling around with nothing really much happening. That would be great, wouldn't it?
No, as we previously established in other episodes.
Oh, no, that would be great.
It would be very dull. That's it for the episode. So on to the most impenetrable pop culture reference of the week. Fairly self-explanatory, this section, basically. You know, things that have been lost to time. And I had two options. There was a nice reference to the sitcom Rhoda.
Yeah.
When Willie got Rhonda's name.
Yes. I like that because Alf is very critical of Rhoda, the sitcom. Mm. And this sort of gives us an allowance to be critical about the sitcom Alf. Because, you know, he can give it out, so he must take it as
That's
well.
Fair.
So he can't complain if we occasionally criticise the plot continuity of this great show.
No, as the next episode is also going to very much test. But I think I would have to go with one of Al's reasons for staying is the transvestites are back on Donahue.
I concur. That was my pop culture reference of the week as
was
well.
Was it really?
Donahue was almost forgotten, but the general 80s-ness of the transvestites on Donahue, it really is perfect almost.
If you don't know what it is, it says what it is really. Tacky sort of talk show, obviously. I think we show it on ITV overnight.
It was definitely on, yeah.
But yeah, sort of precursor to Jerry Springer, I think. Yeah. So that sort of thing. So was that yours as well?
It was. I put a big question mark next to Hopalong Cassidy from earlier, but as that was a sort of a pop culture reference of itself, I didn't think it was allowed, really.
The pool started reflecting back at itself very sharply there, didn't it? So you don't seem to have a problem with this. As a concept, so early in the series.
No, I was starting to bother me watching the show. You think, oh, Alf, oh, he's constantly thinking about the fact he's the only Alf in the universe left, and he'll be depressed and sad inside. And now I know he won't be depressed and sad inside, and his antics and shenanigans will be all the happier for it, I think. There's no subtext left anymore.
No, the sadness is kind of what makes people kind of put up with all the other shit. But, you know, we will see how Alf progresses, presumably backwards and forwards. I mean, I think partly because these episodes are not in production order, but that's fine. Mm. Maybe we'll do this series again when we finish it in production order.
I think if we live that long, then yeah, I'm happy to do that.
Please do keep subscribing for that. If people want more from us, they can find us on the socials.
So, yes, Alfsplaining on Twitter. There's a Facebook page as well. And probably by the time this episode goes out, we'll have set up all the other crazy social media accounts.
Good.
Good.
Crazy in the sort of, you know, mentally ill way.
Yeah.
Like me. So I've been Ben Baker.
And I am still John Matthews.
And we have been Alfsplaining.
Woohoo!
Good Rhondas. Great Rhondas.
Good enough.
Let's not get maudlin.
Welcome home, Alfmeister.